Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and what a blessing and joy it is to be here with you, even though we're separated by distance, we're one in spirit. And we're going to begin a new little sermon series, and the Lord has impressed upon me to talk about three little words, God with us. At the Seed Christian Fellowship, it's our hope and prayer that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and go out into the world sowing seeds of faith. Know God's love, grow in the grace of Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We sit at the brink of a new year. The canvas of this year is clean, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us go in this power to sow seeds of faith, of hope and love. And as I sat down every year at the end of December, I start writing out a preaching calendar. I try and plan the whole year, usually 6 months at a time. To be boldly honest with you, I'm extremely excited to begin this sermon series. I've titled it, God with Us. Three little words, God with us. As I was working on my Advent series this past Christmas season, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart with all that we're going through with this worldwide pandemic and political chaos to stop and reflect on these three words, God with us. Listen to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this pronoun. I'm going to stop there. This pronoun, you, is plural, and it includes you and me. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray before we begin our series. I'd like to use a prayer from Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of a king. Lord God, you are our God. You're sovereign over all things. We ask that your Holy Spirit would open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah, the passage that I read just a few minutes ago, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled when the angel Gabriel showed up to Joseph and told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Listen again to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you hear those three little words? God with us. All wrapped up in one little Hebrew name, Emmanuel. Maybe a good so what question before we even dig into our message for this week is, do you believe these three little words, God with us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is with you? Do you believe that God is with me? Do you believe God with us? Maybe another little so what question is, how do those three words affect or have an impact on your life? Like everyone else, I've been waiting and watching all that's been happening in our world with this worldwide pandemic, and then with all the political upheaval. These times have been tumultuous, turbulent, trying, and terribly frightening. There seems to be so much confusion in the chaos. Friends and family members are getting sick and dying. Businesses are closed. Schools are shut down or moved to online. And even our churches are closed or moved online. Relationships have been limited and stretched to the limits. Families have been isolated and quarantined from each other. Many have been struggling with depression, doubt, and despair. Some have been asking, how long, Lord, how long? Fear, frustration, and anxiety and anger seem to be the emotions that are being expressed by so many. Do you believe these three little words? God with us. How do those three words impact your life? There's a story told of two missionaries who were captured and imprisoned in the same cell, and they were forbidden to speak with each other. Christmas came, and one of the missionaries, shivering and silent, sat on the floor covered with hay, and as he was playing with bits of hay around him, he thought that he discovered a silent way of communicating with his friend. He spelled out the word Emmanuel. As soon as his friend saw the word, immediately he lit up with joy. They were captives. They were in prison, but they believed God was with them, and that ultimate triumph would be theirs. It's my prayer that this next year we will have a variety of ways of showing to others that God is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. As I prayed over my sermon series for this year, the Holy Spirit told me to encourage you with three words. God with us. God with us. Over the next few months, we'll make our way to Easter, and I've been impressed to share some famous stories in the Bible where God showed up. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with David when he faced his giant called Goliath. God was with Elijah when he was confronted by the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God was with Elisha when he raised the dead son of the Shunammite and filled the widow's oil jar to overflowing. God was with Jonah in the belly of a big fish. God was with Samson and Gideon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets and people of the Bible. Do you believe it? Do you believe those three little words, God with us? How do those three words affect your life? During Lent, we'll journey with Jesus to the cross and the resurrection of Easter by looking at some of the amazing miracles Jesus performed. Jesus, the one who saves, Emmanuel, God with us, gave sight to the blind Bartimaeus. Jesus healed the paralytic, God with us. Jesus calmed the storm, God with us. Jesus feeds 5,000, God with us. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, God with us. Jesus heals 10 lepers, God with us. Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb after being dead for 4 days, God with us. I know that many of us have been struggling with all that's been going on with the pandemic and politics and family and health and finances. I love what old Brother Lawrence wrote in his famous little book called Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote these words, quote, "We cannot avoid the dangers and the reefs of which this life is full without the real and constant help of God. Let us ask God for it without ceasing, but how can we ask him without being with him? And how can we be with him without often thinking of him? And how can we often think of him without forming a holy habit of doing so?" It's my prayer over this next journey, as we journey with God with us, that we will form a holy habit of being with God. We'll spend some time with the Old Testament prophet Daniel over the next few weeks. Next, we'll jump into that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then after that, we'll find ourselves in the lion's den with Daniel. Maybe you feel like you've been in a fiery furnace this past year or found yourself in a lion's den with this worldwide pandemic. I'd like to spend just a few minutes to set the stage for the next few weeks as we're in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. By way of the historical background, it's helpful to know that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he attacked the Jewish kingdom of Judah three times, beginning in 605 BC, a little more than 100 years after the northern kingdom of Israel had fallen to the Assyrians. The second invasion by Nebuchadnezzar occurred around 597 BC when Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, and that Jehoiakim is mentioned in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Jehoiakim and many of the Jewish leaders, royal family, commanders of the army, craftsmen, and even some of the priests like Ezekiel were taken captive during that first deportation. The third invasion was the one we remember most. It took place around 586 BC when Jerusalem was completely destroyed and the people of the land were deported to Babylon. A little side note is the prophet Jeremiah was in Jerusalem at the time of this final destruction of the city. God with us. Do you believe those three little words? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would like to pray for you. If you have any prayer concerns, we encourage you to go to our website at theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon and list your prayer concern. Our prayer team will pray for you. We're doing a series with called God With Us, and I'd like for you to consider these points to ponder as we begin our study in Daniel. Daniel was a godly man sent to live in ungodly Babylon at a time when God's blessings upon the Jewish nation seemed to have been withdrawn. So Daniel's a godly man sent to an ungodly nation. This means that his position of being a godly man in an ungodly nation, well, maybe that's a little bit like believers today trying to live in a secular society. The Babylon of Daniel's days was a type of all kingdoms that do not acknowledge God or think they can dispense of God. This description of Babylon in the book of Daniel is a description of many of the places in our world. Even in our post-Christian society here in America, we place God at a distance or we remove him completely. And third, Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, who's Shadrach, Mishael, who is Meshach, and Azariah, who is Abednego, they were under tremendous pressure to conform. That is, their religion was tolerated or even pushed to the side. It may have even been respected, but as long as they did not allow or let their religion intrude into public life, in essence, for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, don't rock the boat. Don't bring your religion into our society. Well, that could be a situation that we have today in America. Our religion is okay as long as we don't bring it into our schools, as long as we don't bring it into our work or into public places. We must keep the boat, keep our religion to ourselves or in our own house. That was what was going on in the days when Daniel was a captive in Babylon. Nevertheless, in spite of these things, God told Daniel that he was with him, that God was in control of history, and that God's purposes were being accomplished, even in the overthrow and the captivity of his people. Moreover, in the end, God will establish a kingdom that will endure forever. The destiny of God's people is wrapped up in his eternal kingdom. I would like to say that the principal theological emphasis or the one of the main theological points of the book of Daniel is the absolute sovereignty of Yahweh, or the absolute sovereignty of God, the God of Israel. At a time when it seemed that all the world and it's his cause or God's cause was lost, and the gods of the heathen had triumphed, causing the temple to be burned, it pleased the Lord to display his big word, omnipotence, his almighty power. The theme running through the whole book is the fortunes of kings and the affairs of men are subject to God's decrees. Let me say that again. If we look at the book of Daniel, we'll find that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all things. He puts kings in places and he disposes kings. In essence, what he's saying is the fortunes of all the kings and the affairs of all the people are subject to God, and that God is able to accomplish his will despite the most determined opposition of the mightiest people on earth. It should be immediately evident to anyone to know and see that God is at work in the book of Daniel. So, real quick, I want to just say that the Jewish people named their people after their gods. Daniel and Mishael contain the syllable El, which means God or Yahweh. And the basis of, or the frequency of, it was actually Elohim. Daniel means God is my judge. Mishael means who is like God. And Hananiah and Azariah both contain a shortened form of the name Jehovah. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious. Azariah means Jehovah is my helper. The very names of these men were reminders of their heritage and a challenge to them to remain faithful to the Lord. But now, deported into a strange pagan land, their names are changed. And the names they are given all contain a reference to one of the false gods of the ancient Babylonians, Aku and Nego and Marduk. It was a way of saying that these who had been servants of the God of the Jewish people were now servants and worshipers of the gods of the pagan pantheon. Yet the change accomplished nothing. Nebuchadnezzar changed these men's names, but he could not change their hearts. They remained faithful to the true God of Israel, as the story will show. There's a book called Love Comes Softly, and in the story, Mary Claridge, a young woman on her way to a new life out west in the 1800s, who suddenly finds herself a widow. On the day her husband is buried, she is approached by Clark Davis, a widower who proposes marriage. This arrangement gives shelter and provision for Marty for the harsh winter ahead, while she is in exchange provides a motherly influence for Clark's daughter, Missy. Over time, Marty finds that Clark is a man of faith, reads his Bible, and communes with God in prayer. In one scene, Clark stands among the charred remains of his barn that has been burned to the ground, and Marty hands him a cup of coffee. "What are you going to do?" she asks. Clark answers, "Neighbors have offered to collect some logs and raise a new barn. Ben said he'd take care of the milk cow feeder in exchange for some milk till I get my feed built back up. I think he's going to be fine. I pretty much got it all worked out," he says. "Just keep praying for answers." Marty says, "Why do you think that God will answer your prayers?" Isn't that a great question? Why do you think God will answer your prayers? And he answers, "He always answers my prayers." Marty says, "Really? Did you pray for this? Did you pray for your wife, Ellen, to be taken away from you? Did you pray for little Missy, that she would grow up not knowing her real mother? I just don't understand why the God that you pray to would let such unthinkable things happen to decent people." Clark takes Marty by the hand and says, "Come with me." "Where are we going?" she asks. "We're going to church," Clark replies. Clark takes Marty to the place where he has his devotions with God. Clark tries to explain to Missy, Missy could fall down and hurt herself, even if I were right there beside her. That doesn't mean I allowed it to happen, but she knows with her father's unconditional love, I'll pick her up and carry her. I'll try to heal her. I'll cry when she cries, and I'll rejoice when she is well. In all the moments of my life, God has been right here by my side. The truth of God's love is not that he allows bad things to happen. It's his promise that he'll be there with us when they do. While this movie dialogue expresses a common viewpoint of God's control over events in our world, it does not do justice to what the Bible reveals. Nothing can happen unless God allows it. Let me say that again. Nothing can happen unless God allows it. God with us. God is with us if we're joyful. God is with us when we're grieving. I have a little saying, and I usually take one of my fingers and I push it into the palm of my hand as hard as I can, and I say, everything passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. I don't always understand what I'm going through. I don't always understand what I'm going through when I sit at the bedside of a loved one who's dying, but I know that God has allowed this to happen. I don't understand this worldwide pandemic, but it has passed through God's hands. I don't understand the political upheaval, but it's passed through God's hands. I don't understand the financial stresses that we face or the relational breakdowns that we face, but it's passed through God's hand. Nothing can happen unless God allows it. However, nothing is more true than the reality that God is with us in everything. The greatest expression of that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. We know the passage, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. For all who would ever believe in him, he would give eternal life. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your worries. I don't know your fear. I don't know your doubt. I don't know your depression or despair. What I do know is the one who can heal you. His name is Jesus. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. One of my favorite passages I use it a lot when I close my messages. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want you to know, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, God with us, Emmanuel. Trust that. Look to God. If you need prayer, contact us at theseedchristianfellowship.com, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. You're not alone. God is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that has worked within us, the Holy Spirit, God with us. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.